Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Chodesh Kislev pre-Chanukah Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere. The title of today's Shir is Neros Chanukah, Kindling the Flame Within. So really, in just a very few short days, we are going to be lighting the menorah. I just said to my husband, you know, after Kislev, Purim's in 2.5 months. I'm ready. So I can't believe how fast the calendar goes. Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the days of Matisyahu, son of Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, the Chashmonaim, and his sons, k'sha'amda malchus Yavan harasha al amcha Yisrael, when the wicked kingdom of Yavan, the Greeks, the wicked ones, rose up against Yisrael, lashkicham torasecha, what was their main goal? They weren't the enemy of Haman who wanted to destroy us all. It was to make us forget Torah, ula'avira michukei ritzonecha, to remove us from the ratzon of Hashem, by you Hashem, in your compassion, barachamecha rabim, amadat alahem be'isarasam. Kadosh Baruch Hu always stands for us in our time of need. Ravta as rivam, he fights our battles, Dantas, Dinam, he judges what we need to judge. Now come to us, Nikmasam, he takes Nakama for us. Masar to Giborim Biyad Chalashim. It was an unbelievable nace, and it was the strong into the hands of the weak. Rabim Biyad Ma'atim. Who would believe that the mighty Greek army would lose to a few Chashmonaim, a few Maccabim, Tmeim Biyad Tahorim? It was the impure in the hands of the pure. Rasha'im Biyad Sadikim, Zaidim, the wanton sinners, Biyad Oske Torasacha. They lit the candles, the neros, in your holy sanctuary. These 8 days were established lahodos, to give hoda'a, lahalal, to give praise, l'shimcha hagadol, to your great name, Hashem. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky reflects, potato latkes are a Chanukah staple. In Israel, there is a widespread custom to eat sufganiyot. I don't know if anybody saw that one of the ministers this year in Israel came out with a recommendation. Did you see? Don't eat sufganiyot. Maybe we should talk about everything else we eat all year. Mamash is sufganiyot that we ate all year for. Perhaps these customs began because oil is used in the preparation of these foods, right? Rabbi Dr. Twersky, that's being a reminder of the miracle of oil. Potato latkes are like potato chips or peanuts. You can't have just one. One woman felt bad when the family visited on Chanukah. She always ran short of latkes. This year, she said, I'm going to continue making latkes until the last person leaves. It was a good try, but no matter how many latkes she made, they were soon gone, and nevertheless, she ended up short that year as well. The ladies' auxiliary of my father's shul had special events, he recalls. One event was a Chanukah party. The latkes were not potato latkes, but buckwheat latkes fried in schmaltz. This was before medicine invented cholesterol. I would take advantage of these meetings. I would ask the ladies for candies and gum. They never refused to give to me. My mother disapproved of me being a snorer at such an early age. She forbade me to ask for gum. So I took a sitter. I showed the ladies the Hebrew word gam, which in English means also. Technically, I did not violate my mother's instructions. Chanukah was also the time of year when geese were available, and my mother would make schmaltz from Pesach from goose fat. This was somewhat of a feat because the house, of course, was chametzdik. Mother scrubbed the dining room table. She covered it with layers of butcher paper. Pesachdik utensils were brought up. The stove was kashered for Pesach. The problem was, in contrast to Pesach, here only a small area was Pesachdik. Everything else was chametzdik. If someone touched anything outside of the Pesachdik area, he was considered contaminated and you had to scrub. By the way, I'm just taking a momentary pause from his words. Someone just told me this, but I can't remember who, that her mother did the same thing. Was it you who told me? No, someone just told me this. Your mother did it.
Well, in America, then I remember it was chicken.
That what?
She did that.
Someone just told me this also. Many years later, he continues, in medical school, I was taught about surgical sterility. In the operating room, only a certain area is sterile. If you touch anything outside of that area, you're contaminated. You must scrub again. I had no difficulty adjusting to the operating room routine. It was just like making Pesachdik schmaltz on Chanukah. So here we are again. It's winter. We woke up yesterday to snow. I said I didn't know this was forecasted. It's Kislev, and Chanukah is just about upon us. And once again, we bring in what we refer to in English as the Festival of Lights. And I did speak about this last week in Ashir as well, which is on Yitoah. I'm not speaking about the same thing, but one Nakuda I do want to touch upon, and it is somewhat ironic and more than a little bit sad, that the Yom Tov that symbolizes our spiritual victory over a spiritual enemy has become enmeshed with a holiday of the Umos HaOlam that falls at the same season, at the same time, and this year, they happen to coincide exactly. They have holiday parties, we have holiday parties. They have special paper goods, banners and streamers, shiny decorations. We have special paper goods, banners, streamers, holiday shiny decorations. They have gift exchanges. And Rahman al-Itzlan, so do we. They have secret Santa. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is something called, what's it called, ours? Mystery Maccabi. One of the kids just told me they're doing Mystery Maccabi. The kids know what I think of this. But another kid said, what should you get for Hanukkah, not from us, from a different family member? So I said, you know, they know. He says, but I'm going to be the only one without Hanukkah presents. So I said, don't worry, they still got them. So I said, they have everything you need. I recall seeing last year a wreath, a blue, white, and silver wreath on the home of a from family. Has our festival of lights become a cultural holiday? Are we devoid of meaning as we partake in the merrymaking of the holiday season? You know, when I'm on the treadmill, I watch Chopped, which is a cooking channel, and when you watch it on the iPad, there's no commercials, so it's a cooking show. So last week, it was unbelievable. The Chopped kitchen was decorated in the holiday decorations, and they have three food baskets, okay? It's a cooking contest. They have three food baskets. I only watch when I'm on the channel. They have, and the closed caption, it's cooking, it's a new, okay. So in the first food basket for the contestants, there are always four items in the food basket, three holiday items, and menorah bread. What's menorah bread? Bread shaped like a menorah. They have to use these foods to cook for the judges. The second basket, three holiday foods and matzo ball soup. And the third basket, three holiday foods and chocolate caramel dreidels. This is not a Jewish show. It's put out by Food Network. But of course, we have to integrate Hanukkah into the holiday season. It has become such a cultural norm that we have to look at and ask ourselves, how do we perceive the holiday season? Are we focusing on the gift giving? Are we focusing on the externality, which is what the Greeks focused on? Or are we focusing on the internality and the flame within and the shama of a person? Rav Meir Whiteman, the head of TAG, wrote an email to the parent body some weeks ago. He sent out a video from PragerU, which is this online Prager University. The video was on vitamin N, and he recommended that the parents watch this five-minute video. I'll just tell you that vitamin N means vitamin no. Say no to your children sometimes. And he said, though I don't necessarily endorse the speaker in this video, some psychologist from the Umos HaOlam, he said it's an important message. But I'm going to quote what he wrote in his email. We should sometimes say no to our children. This thought is especially relevant, he wrote, in the next few weeks, when many parents are considering buying Hanukkah gifts for their children. My main concern, wrote Rabbi Weidman, lies with the type of presents we give our children. Many children want the gifts with the newest technologies built in. I find it mind-boggling that at a time when we celebrate our ancestors' determination to refuse to allow a foreign culture into their lives, and they fought with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh for the right to remain isolated, so many celebrate this Chag by giving their children the tools that access the culture that should be totally foreign to them. May we take a lesson from this video clip and learn to say no when it is appropriate to say no to such requests. By the way, I think that he's also speaking to us as well. This isn't only relevant to children, it's relevant to adults as well. And he signs off wishing you nachas from your children and an uplifting lichud Chanukah. Have we forgotten the essence of the Nes? Have we exchanged our ruchnius to fit with the times? And we also have to understand whatever happens in the Umos HaOlam, unfortunately part of the curse of Galus and assimilation, it infiltrates into our society. And certainly if we move beyond the walls of the Frum community in America, it is certainly a most cultural holiday that the focus is absolutely on the physical when we look at assimilated America. In these turbulent times, as we light the Hanukkah Neros, we have to strive to kindle the flame within and not to focus on what is without. Rav Soloveitchik recalls, I remember in the late 1920s, I happened to pass the Sunday temple. I made the bracha before. Excuse me. In the late 1920s, says Rav Soloveitchik, I happened to pass the Sunday temple on Johannes Street in Berlin, to which the assimilated German Jews belong, Jews who genuinely despise the Jewish people. Some of the most ardent Sona Yisrael, and it's been very much in the news in the past week or so, some of the most ardent Sona Yisrael are those of Yisrael themselves. Jews who genuinely despise the Jewish people. I noticed their temple was richly illuminated and decorated for the holiday. Sounds like Germany in the 1920s. Fast forward 100 years and it's America. I was so curious. I went into the temple. I wanted to see what was going on. They were having a Hanukkah celebration. The rabbi lit the menorah. All 8 candles. I remember it was the 3rd night of Hanukkah. He gave a clever speech. The high point of the sermon was that the true heirs of the Hashmonaim, the true heirs of Matisyahu and his sons, were the national German Jews, who at that time were conducting a campaign to expel from Germany the Jews from the East, Jews from Poland. At the same time that they're looking to expel their fellow brethren, their fellow Jews, at the same time they're saying, we're the heirs to the Maccabim. It's unbelievable how history repeats itself. Fast forward 100 years later, some of the most ardent Sona Yisrael are of Yisrael, and some of the Yisrael look to expel fellow Jews from certain places. That same Hanukkah, I happened upon another curiosity in the Jewish community library on a certain street. I can't pronounce it, that's why I'm not saying it. I chanced upon a copy of the Moscow newspaper. What was the newspaper called? Der Emes. What's Der Emes? We're going to tell you the truth. The newspaper of the Yevetskia, yeah? The Jewish department of the notorious communist Russia. This newspaper had an article on Hanukkah, on the Hashmonaim. With every means at their disposal, the article argued that Hanukkah was actually a communist holiday, and the Jewish world had no right to celebrate Hanukkah. Judah the Maccabee, they wrote, was the first communist. With the times, Hanukkah adapts to the culture. It's a sign of assimilation that our foods are unchopped because it's a holiday edition. So we have to include matzo ball soup. Actually, I need not go deeply into memories, says Rav Soloveitchik, to find such paradoxes and absurdities. Quote, American Jewry is full of them. How many Hanukkah candles will be lit in temples on the Sabbath of Hanukkah after the reciting of Kiddush? With people singing Ma'otzur, they will sing Ma'otzur to the sounds of the organ on Sabbath, singing songs of gratitude to the Hashmonaim who fought for Shabbos observance, how ironic, who fought to celebrate Rosh Chodesh, who fought to defend the rights for Bris Milah. How many enthusiastic sermons about the Maccabim and freedom of religion will be given at non-kosher banquets? And how many praises will be sung this year to Christmas and Hanukkah, which fall at the same time? And these are the words of Rav Soloveitchik. So again, when we talk about the infiltration of the foreign culture into our community, it does to a degree very much affect the Orthodox community, but it affects to an even greater degree the world, the Jewry in America, the vast majority of which are not observant and are not Orthodox, as we adopt their norms and their ways to celebrate our holiday. We have to ask ourselves, has the very battle that the Maccabim fought and they waged so valiantly, has it become once again a phenomenon in our times? The Pasuk warns us, Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yirchas, Pasuk Gimel, I'm sorry, K'maisa Eretz Mitzrayim, asher yishavtem ba lo ta'asu. The ways of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not emulate, don't do. K'maisa Eretz Kanan, asher ani mevi eschem shama. And the ways of the Canaanite people who live in Eretz Kanan, where I am bringing you, lo ta'asu, shall not do. V'chukoseihem lo seilechu, you shall not go in their ways. So Hashem says, look at the Umas HaOlam. Do not go in their ways. Do not do what they do. And Rashi says, which I've quoted before, V'chuko sehem lo seilechu. What does it mean, don't go in their ways? A chok is like a law. What does it mean, don't go in their laws, don't go in their statutes? Ma'hi nicha kasuv shelo amar. What did the Torah not tell you? Why do we add V'chuko sehem lo seilechu? You told me don't do like the Egyptians. You told me don't do like the Canaanites. Now you're telling me don't go in their laws. What does this mean? Ela elu nimuso shalahen. These are their customs. Dvarim hachakukin lahem, which have become like their laws, kigon tartios v'itz tadios. Like their, I've said it before, who knows what it is? Their theaters and their stadiums. Yeah, you don't like it? Look it up. I was just reading Salvation just on Shabbos. He's quoting a passage from the Rambam, and he said to his Talmidim, if you have a question, ask the Rambam. So Rashi says, I'm not passing any halacha here, we're talking hashkafically. But Rashi tells you, what do you mean? You told me don't be like the Egyptians. You told me don't be like the Canaanites. So what does it mean, don't go in their ways, don't go like their laws? So Rashi says, I'll tell you what it means. They have customs that have become so firmly entrenched that it becomes like a law. Part of that is cultural norms. And then Rashi says, Pasha, kagon tartios v'itz tadios, like their theaters and their stadiums. Ibn Ezra comments, Uvuchu Koseim lo Selechu, says Ibn Ezra, Shalo Yargil Adam Lalechas Bader Chazah, a man should not accustom himself to go in this way, Ad Shehielo Chok, until it becomes like a law for you, become so used to doing something that we should not be doing, that it becomes like a Chok, it becomes part of my life, it becomes like a law. So I wrote in my notes that perhaps Hanukkah, as it is celebrated by assimilated America, brings up some uncomfortable truths. But perhaps each one of us should ask ourselves, what is our focus, our priorities, our celebration of the Yom Tov, and is it in keeping with the spirit of the day? I remember talking to someone. When I say talking, I mean usually virtual talking by WhatsApp, my hearing loss. It's a bracha for me to be able to communicate virtually, but that's not the point. The point is that she was saying how busy she is buying presents for these and that and all the extended family and these ones and the nieces and the nephews. And you know, if the whole December becomes, what should I buy for people? We have a problem. Because that's what their whole December becomes. How many boxes are under my tree? Lahavda Rahmana Litzlan. Rav Salvechik saw the same thing in the 1920s. And the Chashmonaim saw the same thing. In the days of Yavan, when they wanted lahavira michukei ritzonecha, move away from Hashem's chukim to take on the chukim of the Umas HaOlam. The two brothers, the famed of Elimelech of Lizhinsk and Rav Zusha of Anipoli, very, very famous brothers, lived in the 1700s, Hasidic masters, often wandered together, posing as simple beggars. They would mingle with the masses, they would listen, they would teach, they would speak, they would encourage their fellow Jews whenever they could. Once they found them, take my water. Here. I have some here, I didn't drink from that. Once they were traveling with a group of vagabonds, members of a group who were accused of being thieves. The whole bunch was thrown into jail, confident in their innocence. An eventual release, the two brothers didn't do anything. They sat quietly. As the afternoon progressed, Rav Elimelech stood up. He prepared to daven the afternoon prayer. It's time for mincha. What are you doing? Said his brother Rav Zusha of Anipoli. I'm getting ready for mincha, said Rav Elimelech. Dear brother, said Rav Zusha, it's forbidden to pray in the cell. In the corner of our cell is a pail. That pail is being used as a toilet. This room is unfit for prayer. Dejected, Rav Elimelech of Lizhinsk sat down, very upset. Soon he began to cry. Holy brother, why are you crying? Said Rav Zusha of Anipoli. Is it because you are unable to pray? Rav Elimelech answered, yes, in the affirmative. I can't pray mincha, so I'm crying. But why are you weeping? Said Avzusha. Don't you know? The same God who commanded you to pray also commanded you not to pray when the room is unfit for prayer. By not praying in this room, you have now achieved a connection with God. True, it's not the connection you sought. But if you want the divine connection, you have to be happy. God has afforded you to obey the law in his name at this time, no matter which way the law goes. You are right. My holy brother, exclaimed of Elimelech, he started smiling. He jumped up. The feeling of dejection and sadness was banished from his heart. He took his brother's arms. They began to dance from joy because they could not daven mincha in an inappropriate place. The guards heard the commotion going on in the cell. They came running. They see these two brothers, these two men dancing, their long beards and their tzitzes. The guard said to the other prisoners, what's going on here? We don't know, they said, mystified. The two Jews were discussing the pail in the corner. All of a sudden, they came to some conclusion to their discussion. They got up and they started to dance. Is that right? Sneered the guards. They're happy because of the pail. We'll show them. They promptly removed the pail from the cell. Elimelech of the Jinx and his brother stood up and they were able to pray mincha. The miracle of Chanukah took place during Bayisheni, Second Temple period. It celebrates the second century before the Common Era victory of a small, greatly outnumbered group of Hashmonaim, known as the Maccabees. Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem, a pasuk from Az Yashir, Shemos Perek Tesvav. Mighty Greek army occupied the Holy Land. The rebellion was in the response to the Greek object, the Greek goal of conquering, not the people, but of conquering their spirit, the Jewish way of life of the Jewish people. They outlawed Bris Milah, and I've said it many times, but I will say it again. Rav Elio Kitov says they wanted a body without restraint. Bris Milah symbolizes a body with restraint. The Greeks wanted, says Rav Kitov, a body without restraint. Shabbos, a world without a creator. And Rosh Chodesh, time without sanctity. That was their goal. And then everybody does what they want, when they want, how they want, with whom they want. So I was just discussing with someone last week, something interesting, and she asked me, and she said, why is Chanukah 8 days and it's over 2 months? All the other Yamim Tovim are in 1 month. Chanukah is in over 2 months. So you could say that's just the way the calendar fell out. We started on Chav Hei, the oil lasted for 8 days, so we're celebrating for 8 days, but we came to a very interesting conclusion. The Greeks outlawed Bris Milah, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh. By celebrating Chanukah for 8 days, one of the reasons given for 8 days is it corresponds to Bris Milah. They tried to outlaw Bris Milah with our 8 days. We show we will always have Bris Milah. Therefore, Chanukah and its 8 days always must be 8 days to symbolize Bris Milah, always must encompass a Shabbos to celebrate we won the battle to keep Shabbos, and always has in it a Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, it symbolizes the spiritual victory of the Jews over the Greeks. During this time, Matithyahu appointed his son Yehuda HaMaccabee as leader of the Jewish people. He restored glory to the people and to their land, emblazoned on their flag, if you would imagine, their pennants at Maccabee. Who is like you amongst gods, amongst powers, Hashem? During the days of the Greek kingdom, say Chazal, the Hashmonaim entered the sanctuary. They rebuilt the altar. They repaired the sanctuary walls. They replaced the sacred vessels, and they engaged in rebuilding for 8 days. They fashioned, they did not have a real menorah. They did not have the golden menorah. They fashioned a makeshift pipe menorah, a metal menorah. We're going to talk about that momentarily. And they lit it, however, with pure olive oil, sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. 25th of Kislev, enough oil for 1 day, lasted for 8 days, and here we are. Rav Soloveitchik says, if Halacha chose to establish Chanukah as a holiday to be observed, whether the Beis HaMikdash stands or not, you know, many of our temple observances have been abolished with the destruction of the temple. We don't have Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Levim singing on the steps, we don't have Karbanos, we don't have Ketores, we don't have the Avoda in the Heichal, on Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there is none, but we still have Chanukah. But we recall something that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, even though there is no Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik says, this is a sign that the essence of Hanukkah exists for generations. And quote, it holds within it the eternity of Israel. The secret of the eternity of Israel is held within the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. The Hanukkah of political freedom, so popular with all, was annulled long ago. There is no political absolute freedom with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it would seem that the miracle of Hanukkah consists not so much in the importance of the military victory by Yamim HaHeim in those days, but rather Bizman HaZeh, in our times. And no destruction can diminish or annul the miracle of Hanukkah in our days. So it's incumbent upon us then, if the miracle is Bayamim Mahim, yes, but continues Bizman Hazeh, to make sure that we observe the Yom Tov, not only according to the halacha of the day, but according to the spirit of the day. Based on the teachings of Rav Kook, Rav Hanan Morrison writes, the Jewish people have fought many battles in their long history. We're still fighting battles today. Some of these battles were accompanied by miracles. So why only the Chashmo Na'im victory is established as a Yom Tov for future generations? Why celebrate a holiday in which the temple was defiled? And many Jews were lost to a foreign culture. We have to remember that as well. When we talk about assimilation today, many Jews are lost. Many Jews are lost. Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman. That generation is lost. The children produced of that union have gone over to the other side. So why are we celebrating such a holiday where many Jews became Hellenists and they went over to the other side? There's no mitzvah, furthermore, to celebrate with a festive meal. Yes, we have Hanukkah parties and we have Seudos, but there's no mitzvah to celebrate with a Kavua Seuda like the other Yom Tovim. It's a holiday, Lahodos Ulahalal. The focus of the holiday is praise and thanksgiving. What is the significance of the miracle of oil? Bless you. The military victories. The military victories. Let's pass around the water. Keep it if you need it. If I need, I'll take more. The military victories of the Greek Empire brought about the spread of culture and philosophy. It was a superficial charm. Listen to this. When we talk about assimilation in America and the effect it has even within the Orthodox community, the superficial charm of Hellenism captured the hearts of many Jews. These new ideas undermined fundamental teachings of Torah and central mitzvos. And we're not only talking about 2,000 years ago. The danger was so great, the clash of culture could have caused permanent damage to the spiritual state of the Jewish people. The Gemara therefore emphasizes the single flask of oil in the resource of Jewish people. We never forget the single flask, the single nekuda that's important. We just had on last week's parsha. Yaakov went back over the river because he forgot some small jars and he went back to get them. And in fact, my son said over at the table in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Kleiman, my son said over that these were jars of oil. And the final jar remained and became part of the Chashmonai victory. It was that jar of oil that Yaakov Avinu went back for. It is the inner resource, teaches Rav Kook, of pure holiness that guarded the Jewish people. The inner resource, the inner flame, the inner pach, shemen, in each one of us. And therefore the sages understood Hanukkah is a permanent holiday. The battle against an overwhelming foreign culture was not just a one-time struggle of the Chashmonaim. I'm going to repeat that. The sages realized that the battle against a foreign culture was not a one-time struggle of the Chashmonaim. All generations, teach Rav Kook, require the strength and inner purity of faith to protect the Torah from corrupting influences, from foreign beliefs, from pagan values. They attacked our spiritual kochos. And yes, a portion of Jews were lost, but a strong minority won. And for that, we celebrate with spiritual celebration and not physical celebration. Mystery Maccabee? is our secret Santa. It's not sad. It's really sad. But Mordechai Machlis relates, Asher was a middle-aged American man who was here a lot. He was probably brilliant at some point in his life, but he had spent time in Bellevue Hospital, a hospital in New York City known for its psychiatric ward. Asher wore a towel on his head. He had the strongest stench of any person who ever came into this house. Wherever I went with him, said Rabbi Mordechai Machlis, they asked me to leave. I went with him to shul. They asked me and Asher to leave. I think it's against God to treat someone like that. He was so hurt when people would ask him to leave. Henny would offer him every cologne or perfume in our house. She would let him take showers. She gave him clean clothing. She treated him with very great dignity. It bothered Henny so much that they would throw Asher out of shul. It was a miracle he didn't make our house smell. He came to our house all the time, and none of the other guests ever walked out because of him. That's the miracle of our house. I'm just quoting from the book. That's the miracle of our house, says Rabbi Machlis. One Shabbos, he ends with a humorous vignette. One Shabbos, a guy from California came to our house for the first time. He saw the crowd of people. He didn't know where to sit because there are all types of people there. And this guy from California didn't want to sit next to anyone who was a little strange. But he saw a man with a towel on his head. So he thought, great, I'll sit next to him. That guy just came out of the shower. Little did he know who he landed himself next to. Neiros Chanukah is about finding the inner flame within every Jew. That was the vignette told over by Rabbi Machlis from the Torah teachings of Rabbitzin Henny Machlis, Allah Shalom. A certain rabbi loved every Jew very much. He once went to speak in the Diamond District in Tel Aviv. The first question they asked him, why do you hang out with low-class people? So he said, when you find a diamond in the rock, it's dirty. Do you throw it out? So they said, no, we polish it. We shine it. We cut it. It's beautiful. I do the same. Every Jew is more precious than a diamond. There was a fellow playing violin in the subway, said Henny. He had his violin case open. He played for 45 minutes. 1,000 people stopped by in 45 minutes. In New York City, it's not hard to imagine that. 6 people stopped. He collected $32 in 45 minutes. Afterwards, it was revealed this man was Joshua Bell, one of the world's greatest violinists. He was using a violin worth $3.5 million. People just didn't notice. They don't take the time to listen. So I want to say, said Rabbitzin Machlis, everyone around us is like Joshua Bell. Everyone is important. Everybody is special. We have to work really hard to love every Jew like ourselves, to see their uniqueness, to see their specialness, because we just don't know who anybody is. Akash Baruch wants us to focus on the good and the uniqueness of every person. And then she speaks about when Akash Baruch came to be Mevakar Cholim Avraham Avinu, Al Na Tavor Me Alav Dacha, there's a machokas. Is he talking to Hashem or is he talking to the Archim? Says Henny, this teaches us how great one must treat their fellow Jew, their fellow person, their fellow human being so nicely, with so much dignity and respect. We don't know if Avraham Avinu is talking to Hashem or to the guests. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky says, the shamash is the candle used to kindle all the other lights. Although it gives light to others, its own light does not diminish. This should serve as a teaching. When we give of ourselves to others, whether by giving tzedakah or doing an act of chesed, our strength and our possessions are not diminished. And then he notes that in many menorahs, the shamash stands even higher than the other shamash stands above the other lights. The miracle of light was indeed great, but he teaches doing chesed, being the light that gives to others, being of oneself, giving of oneself, stands higher than a miracle. Mara says in the Shachar Shabbos, Chaf Av Amad Beis, Kishen Nichnesu Yevanim Leheichal, when the Greeks entered the sanctuary, timu es kol shamanim. They defiled all the oils shabehechal. V'kshagavra malchus beis chashmonai v'nitzchum. When the house of the chashmonaim entered and they won, badku. They checked. It was like a bedikas chametz. They're looking and they're looking. V'lo matzu ala pach echad shel shemen. They found one pach of shemen. Shehayamunach b'chasmo shel kohen gadol. One pach that was there resting amongst the defilement with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. I'm quoting from the Gemara, even though you know the story outside. There was only enough oil to light one day. Nasa bones, look at this, a miracle is done. They lit for 8 days. L'shana acheres, and the next year, kavum va'asum yamim tovim b'halo v'oda. The next year, the sages say, in commemoration, in remembrance, to eternalize the Nes of Chanukah, we will have this Yom Tov every year, halal and hoda. So in this Gemara, in this piece of Gemara, we can also expound upon it on the level of drash, not only on the level of pshat. The level of pshat, it's telling you what happened. What happened? They entered the Heichal, they found one pach shemen, they lit it, enough for one day, 8 days, next year, they said, make a yontov. But let's look at it on the level of drash, when the Greeks, when the pagans, when the enemy, when the Yetzer Hara enters the Heichal, kishenichnesu yevanim leheichal, timu, kol shamanim. The abode of Knesset Yisrael becomes defiled. The Shechina Kaviyachal leaves. The enemy makes it seem as if nothing pure is left. Timu kol shamanim. They enter the holy sanctuary. Whether it's the times of Chashmonaim, whether it's Germany in the 1920s, whether it's America 100 years later, and everything looks like it's tamei, as if all is defiled, as if the darkness has covered up the light of the Jew, as if the spirit of Knesset Yisrael has been washed away with impurity and filth. Is it progress that matzah ball soup is in the chop basket? Or is it a sign that kishenichnesu yevanim leheichal timul kol shamanim? And yet, when the Chashmonaim entered, the brave and holy Maccabim, when they won, and the forces of the Yetzer HaTov won over the Yetzer Hara, one little flask was found. Enough oil for one day, enough oil for a short time, enough kedusha for just a moment. But when you light, it spreads and the light increases and does not diminish. And it is possible to still find the purity of the neshama of the Jew within. Even when everything looks like it is defiled, the neshama remains always untouched. One flask, one lamp, one measure of oil. The spark of the neshama is enough to illuminate for eternity. And this is the miracle, the neshama of the Jew that's never extinguished, the spark within that we must illuminate. That's the praise, that's the thanksgiving that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. A couple from America made aliyah, they purchased an apartment, they wrote down Rabbi Machus as the guarantor. A few years later, the couple had to go back to America. Aliyah did not work out. They left. Collector showed up at the Machus home. The Machuses do not have enough money to pay off the debt. They have their papers. They have to take everything of worthy possessions in the Machus apartment. Two burly men showed up with the papers. Where's the television, they demanded. We don't have one, said Henny. Where are the computers? We don't have any. The silver, Kiddush cups, candlesticks, your jewelry, we have none. The book relates that over the years, people stole all of her jewelry and all of their silver, even though Henny would not say they stole it. She would insist on saying they borrowed it. Everything was stolen. She said, all we have is Sifrei Kodesh. Do you want to take those? Henny was unfazed. The men conducted their search in the Israeli-sized Machus apartment, and they wrote down on the papers, Ein po malakachat, there's nothing here to take. There are some plastic tables and chairs. They turned to leave, but Henny was not finished with them. This is the best part of the story. She looked at them and she said, did you put on tefillin today? To the collectors. The men looked at her, and she called her son Yehoshua, "Go get the tefillin." The two men who came to take away all of her possessions put on tefillin. They said the Shema, and they left. When the Yavanim entered the Heichal, they defiled everything that was pure. But when the Jew prevails, and they win, Badku, check, look, find, you think there's nothing left. Lo matu ala pach echad. They found the one spark of purity. Shayamunach b'chosmo shakoen gada. The one spark that is never defiled within. The Gemara tells us, furthermore, Masechta Shabbos, Beis Shammai says, Yom Rishon madlik shmona mikan ve'elach pachos v'holech. Beis Shammai says, you start with 8 candles, you light 8 and you go down to 1. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Yom Rishon Magdik Achas. Beis Hillel says what we do. The first day you light 1, Mikan Ve'elach Mosif Ve'holech. From there on Mosif, you add and you go on. It matters of Kedush, and of course, who we paskin by? Chanukah can be seen as an acronym for Ches Neros Ve'halacha Kebeis Hillel, 8 candles, and we paskin like Beis Hillel. What do? We go up in Kedusha, not down. The Jew does not decrease when all hope seems lost, when the enemy seems strong, when the darkness is black as it is today, when the lamps have all but been extinguished, when impurity is rampant, and when men of purity are few, when all that is available is one small flask, one small fame. Can you imagine that she said to those people who came to take away her possessions, did you put on your tefillin today? We go up in Kedusha. We increase the purity. The potential is made with the lighting of the menorah. And it's a lesson to each one of us, of course. We always have to be striving upwards in our own avodas Hashem, in our own ruchnius. Someone just said to me yesterday, I mentioned it before, so I feel I can say it again, that I took upon myself this past Elul to try to be makpid on Shalosh Shuras. Try and wash for Shalosh Shuras. I'm every Shabbos, so I had to figure out yesterday. I was speaking in the afternoon. I knew I wouldn't be home before Shkia. So I davened early. I made Kiddush. I washed on 2 matzahs in the morning. And then my lunch was actually my Suda Shlishis, my 3rd meal. I was talking to somebody later in the day. She says, wash Shalosh. I said, oh, I washed already. Ah. So she said why she took upon Shalosh Shuras upon herself 10 years ago. So she says, why did you take it on? I said, just for avodas Hashem. It wasn't a schos for, even though it's nice to do it, schos for avodas, just for myself and my avodas Hashem. We always have to be striving upwards. Chas Neiros, we want to get to 8. V'halacha k'beis Hillel. When you start with 1, pach shemen, 1 spark within, make sure you're climbing upwards. Interesting thought. We say in the first of the 3 brachos, oh, we're fine for time. We say in the first of the 3 brachos, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. So what's interesting is that ner is in the yachid, 1, and it is not in the rabbin, because we're not really lighting ner Chanukah, we're lighting many neros Chanukah. The single ner, perhaps, we can propose based on our learning today, is that single kernel of faith that is never extinguished. You're always lighting the ner Chanukah, because no matter how many candles you're lighting, you're starting with that one pach shemen that was undefiled, that's not contaminated, no matter how far the Yetzer Hara gets. Search, when you enter the Heichal, the holiness of the Jew, you always find the one pach, and that's the single ner. Rav Eli Melch Biederman writes in his Torah Wellsprings, he teaches in his Torah Wellsprings, it's up to the person to desire the goodness. You have to first desire holiness, then Hashem will give it to you. I was reading something so interesting yesterday, learning something so interesting, in the Nesivo Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe on Tefillah. He was speaking about davening to Hashem, and he speaks about davening for Gashmius matters, and he said, it's so beautiful, he ends that certain sicha with saying, how you have to daven for Ruchnius matters. And in Gashmius matters, there are prosecutors who stand above and tell Hashem, don't give it to him. But in Ruchnius matters, there's no prosecutors standing and counteracting as the counter defense against what you want. When it comes to Gashmius matters, says the Slonim, when it comes to Ruchnius matters, says the Slonim Rebbe, you have to daven as well. You have to daven for success, but you have to want to want it. Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, a Shiva of Tells, But I always recall a bracha he received from Rav Shimon Shkop when he was a young boy. And the bracha is, you should always want to learn. The first step in Chas Neros V'alacha Kabeis Hillel, the first step in going up, is that you have to what? Want to go up. Rabbi Yehudah writes, it's up to the person to desire the goodness, to first desire the holiness. If a person doesn't strive for it, he says, he won't get it. Hashem didn't hold Yaakov Avinu at Har HaMoria when he had his famous dream in Vayetze until Yaakov decided he wants to be there. The choice is in our hands. The choice is in our hands. Then Hashem will help. Every 7 days, he says, we have Shabbos. Every few months, we have the Yamim Tovim. Soon, it will be Chanukah. It's up to the person to desire to connect to the holiness of these days. For if he will not put his heart towards it, will heaven give it to him? You know, gift-giving at Chanukah is not going to go away, I realize. But at least we should make sure our priorities are straight and that our focus is right and that we know what's first and what's secondary. And it's very important to impart that as well to the next generation. Because if we have the wrong focus in our approach to the Yom Tov, that usually falls out in December, and by that I mean the Hebrew, the Jewish Yom Tov, that falls out in December, then what happens to the next generation? How do they perceive the Kedusha of this day? And if it really becomes all about the Gashmius aspects, then in a sense, the Greeks are making headway. And we have to search very hard to find the undefiled Pach Shemen within the nation and within each person and within ourselves. Because it truly exists and it's absolutely there. But sometimes it seems like so much impurity that we think the Pach Shemen is lost. Rabbi Biderman continues and he says, make for me an opening the size of a needle. It's a medrash, you've heard it before. I will make for you an opening the size of a heichal. Do a little bit and Hashem does the rest. But the little bit we do is paramount. Pischu the kichudo shel machat. Open for me like the opening of a needle. I will opening up for you like a hallway that wagons and chariots can go through. And we said in the fall, in the beginning of the fall, in Parsha class, beautiful Ha'ara, why does it have to be the opening of a needle? You remember? Why not a finger in sand, for example? Because if you put your finger in rice, put your finger in a bowl of rice, so you have a temporary hole, but what happens when you take your finger out of the rice? I'm not talking about cooked rice, raw rice. What happens? Goes back. What happens when you make a hole with a needle and fabric, even if the hole is very, very small? It's staying there. It's a permanent puncture. It's a permanent hole. That's what we have to do in our Avodas Hashem. As small as our action may be to affect change, we have to show Hashem we want permanent change. And therefore, Chazal say, like the opening of a needle, make sure you want to want. Soon it will be Chanukah, teaches Rav Biderman. It's up to the person to desire these days and to connect to their holiness. Something very interesting emerged when I was preparing, which I never noticed before. And the first two letters of the word Chanukah allude to an aspect of the holiday, allude to an aspect of the person, an aspect of the neshama that we have to look for. And of course, the first two letters spell the word beautiful. Not beautiful. The first two, but I agree with you, it is beautiful. The first two letters spell the word chayin. Chasnun, chayin. Perhaps part of the nes that we commemorate and relive is seeking to find the chayin once again in Knesset Yisrael. Even when, I can't translate chayin. Does anyone have a translation? Okay. It's like a purity, a grace. You know, you can't translate it, but you know when you find it. It's a charm. It's not the right word. Charm, beauty, grace. Perhaps we have to search for the chayin in Knesset Yisrael, even if it almost seems lost. We have to find the chayin in our fellow Jews all around us, and we have to find the chayin within our very own selves. Says the Slonim Rebbe, when it comes to davening for matters of Gashmias, there are prosecutors who interject, who stop the plea. But when it comes to davening for spiritual matters, he says, Ruchnias, the tefillos go straight up to Hashem. Hani Machlis points out, when we got to our Sinai, it says, Vayichan Hashem Yisrael Neged Hahar, very, very famous, Israel camped there opposite the mountain, and Rashi says about that, very famous words, Ki Ishachan, Belev Echa, the prerequisite for getting Torah is Achdus. But then she quotes the Varka Rebbe. Varka Rebbe says a different var. He says, Vayichan, and Israel camped, comes from the word Chain. Every person has to see the chain in their fellow human being. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ha'ar, kish echa b'leiv echad. When you camp and look for the chain all around you, that leads to achdus, which leads to the zchus of Kabbalah Satorah. See the beauty in your fellow man. See his talents, his goodness. Rabbi Nachman says you have to find the nekuda tova, the point of goodness, in each person, and radiate that. You should say about every Jew, wow, this person is kind, sensitive, funny, cool, good to be with. You have to find the chain in every person. And when I read that, I realized that in the word Chanukah is the word chain. And that's part of what we have to strive to uncover amidst all the tumah as well. But Henny points out that not only do we have to appreciate other people, everyone has to appreciate themselves. She says, how can you love your fellow as you love yourself if you don't know who yourself is? First find who you are, and then you can love other people. We have to use our personality, our talents, our abilities to serve Hashem, to maximize my own potential. After I find out who I am, I can have the same feeling of love for my friends, the same kavod, the same empowerment. So perhaps our tafkid is to cast aside the darkness of the Umos HaOlam that has, Rachmana Litzlan, may God save us, infiltrated into our Yom Tov. Everyone has to ask themselves if it's applicable to them. As a whole, as a nation right now, it's applicable to us. How much has the influence of the Umos HaOlam come in and infiltrated and defiled our Heichal? But nevertheless, we have to push aside the darkness. We have to be the Maccabees, as Mi Kamocha Be'elim Hashem. We have to be the brave Chashmonaim, the Ma'atim, the few against the many. And to find the Chain in Chanukah, not only in Knesset Yisrael, not only in every individual, but first within ourselves. We have to want to want. We have to redirect our focus. We have to get our priorities straight. We have to know what's first on Chanukah and what comes second on Chanukah. We have to kindle the flame here. And that's the only way we could pass it on to the next generation. And if the whole focus becomes the same focus as the Umos HaOlam of December, then the next generation picks up on that very strongly. And we have to reprioritize. That's the single flask that was found and burned for 8 days, which leads to our final insight. Rav Kook teaches, they found this Pach Shemen of pure oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, but they didn't find a pure menorah. They had to rebuild a menorah, a makeshift pipe menorah out of metal. So Hashem could have let them find the menorah. Why did they only find the pure oil, but they didn't find the pure golden menorah? So he answers, while it's fitting that the external vessel should be aesthetically pleasing, there are times when the physical reality is harsh and discouraging. During such times, we make do with what we have. They lit the menorah with improvised rods. However, such a beautiful conclusion, the oil nourishes the flame. The spirit must always remain spiritually rich, even when the vessel, it's not so perfect. The oil must always be pure. Even when the externality, you have to make do with what you have, make sure that the inner flame is always bright. This is an important message of Chanukah, teaches Rav Kook. The miracle occurred not with the menorah, but with the oil. We may suffer physical hardship and deprivation, but the spiritual life should always be clean and pure. Chanukah is the time when we kindle the flame in our windows, and we search for the light within ourselves. It is the simple, small, unblemished flask of oil that Yaakov Avinu would not leave that the Chashmonaim would not give up on. That we should never say it has been extinguished, because it's never tarnished. We must search for the flame within our people, even in dark and confusing times, because not only are we in dark times, but we're in very confusing times. We must find the flame in our fellow man, even when all hope seems lost. And ultimately, we really have to strive to find it first and foremost in ourselves and be like the Shamas, spread the flame outward. Chanukah is the time to look for the chain. And Be'ezras Hashem, when we make the opening of the needle, Hashem will see the path on which we want to go. He will open up for us an opening that wagons and carriages can go through. So I wish you all a meaningful, spiritually uplifting, lichtige Chanukah Sameach. Amen v'amen. Thank you, everybody.